It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 3 John, the book of 3 John was written by the Apostle John, the same Apostle John that has penned the book of Revelation, the book of 2 John, and the book of 1 John, also the book of St. John, the Gospel of St. John. This particular epistle was written in the mid-90s AD. John himself, an elder statesman in his 90s, when writing this. This particular epistle, the third epistle of John, is written as a commendation to the hospitality of ministers. It speaks of the characteristics of a saint and a sinner, that which is good and that which is bad. It contrasts two individuals, one that is doing the work of the Lord with character, and one that is fighting against the work of the Lord with bad character. This particular man, Gaius, which means gladness. This particular man, Gaius, was a Greek convert. A Greek convert, possibly of the Apostle John. And John is giving him instruction in this particular epistle. Much like Paul had a Greek convert named Titus, who he has given instruction in his epistle from Paul, the book of Titus. This particular epistle also speaks to Gaius, this individual, a converted Greek, speaks to two things, the witness of John and the love of Jesus Christ. The witness of John to lead him to Christ, and the love of Jesus to convert this Greek pagan individual who worshipped many gods and many idols. It's a testimony to two things, the witness of John and the love of Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Yes, God wants us to prosper both financially, physically, and spiritually. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, It is the Lord that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Job chapter 36 verse 11 says, If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. God wants us to be blessed financially. God wants us to be blessed spiritually. The book of John chapter 15 speaks of producing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. God wants our cup to runneth over. Spiritually, God wants us to produce much fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. God wants us to be blessed physically, where it says here in verse 2, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God wants our cup to runneth over. God wants us to be in good health. The scriptures teach in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus Christ wants us to be in good health. He wants us to be blessed financially. God wants us to possess things. He just does not want things to possess us. Yes, God wants us to possess possessions. He just does not want possessions to possess us. And we've got to be careful that this particular scripture is not taken out of context with two things. The prosperity gospel, that God wants all individuals to prosper in terms of finances. Some individuals will, some individuals will not. A lot of it's based on their faithfulness. If you are faithful in a few things, you'll be faithful over much. Perhaps God is not blessing them financially, is because they are not being faithful with what they have. Also, this scripture can be taken out of context because people may equate prosperity with their walk with the Lord. Just because individuals are getting blessed does not mean that they are in right standing with God. Jesus Christ taught in the book of Matthew that the sun rises on the just and the unjust. When it rains outside, your neighbor may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but however, his grass is being watered also. We should not equate prosperity with blessings or being in right standing with God. Sometimes individuals can be rich, not based on their Heavenly Father blessing them, but because the devil also tries to sidetrack them. Remember in the temptation of Jesus Christ, the devil said, "All this will I give thee if thou wilt bow down and worship me." So individuals must be careful where their blessings are coming from. If God is blessing you with prosperity, then it will lead you down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what the scriptures teach. He leadeth me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So whatever blessings we get, they can be a blessing that leads us down the path of doing that which is right in God's eyesight, not allowing us to go astray because of those blessings. Verse number 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. John is saying, I heard your good report. I've heard your good witness. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 has a similar report. It says here that we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Here, Paul is giving a commendation to the Colossian church on how he's heard of your faith and heard of their love. The question is, what are people hearing about us? Are they hearing about our faith and about our love? Verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is speaking of physical children that walk in truth and spiritual children that walk in truth. Both are a blessing in the Lord. Children that we begat in the natural and children that we begat spiritually, that we lead to Christ. We can bring joy and merriment to our parents by having our children walk in obedience unto the Lord. No matter what their age, whether they be children, we as parents can be happy. And whether there be adults, we also can be happy as parents with our children are walking in obedience and in truth. The Bible gives examples of parents that are grieved by their children through disobedience and parents that are made happy through obedience of their children. Contrasting in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21, 25, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Contrast, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Yes, we can bring merriment and joy to our parents by doing that which is right in God's eyesight. The Bible says that God spoke at the baptism of Jesus Christ, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We are to please God in our word, in our thought, and in our deed. We are to please God and to make him happy, for he is the object of our love, the object of our faith, and the object of our joy. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me down the way everlasting." Verses 5 through 8, 3 John. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We see here in verses 5 through 8 of 3 John, a commendation for the hospitality to ministers. Individual ministers did not take anything from the Gentiles, but they labored with their hands, and they received offerings from the saints. The saints provided refreshment, provided nourishment, provided money and sustenance for them to continue on their ministry. This particular commendation that John is speaking of is also not taking advantage, but doing well. Not for filthy lucre's sake, and not taking advantage of those they're ministering to. They had the authority to take up an offering. They had the authority to take up a salary. For the Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the Bible also says, the labor is worth his hire. They chose to labor with their hands. They chose to live an honest life before the Gentiles, and as a result, won many Gentiles to Christ. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God knows the things that are being done behind the scenes. He knows that even though our body is tired, we're sacrificing ourselves for the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 gives a good example of this in verses 17 and 18. Paul writes, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul saying that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus gathered up offerings on their journeys and refreshed Paul, came to Paul's comfort and aid and gave him sustenance, gave him offerings to help him. When the Corinthian church would not take up the proper offerings, these individuals gave of their basket of storehouse to Paul, and Paul gives them a commendation as a result. Verse 9 in 3 John, we turn our thoughts to an individual that began to scatter the church. Verse 9 in the book of 3 John, we turn our attention from a commendation to the hospitality of ministers and rejoicing in the truth to a warning against a false minister that is scattering the sheep. Verse 9 reads, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This Diotrephes, this individual in the local church, desired to have the preeminence. He desired to be first. There are those in today's churches, in today's job market, or on our jobs, who believe the same way. They must be first. They must be in charge. Individuals that have to always sing in church and have the microphone, always having to do the announcements. They cannot work behind the scenes. They must be in the spotlight. This is that spirit of Diotrephes. Individuals that always must be in the spotlight and always must be first. Verse number 10, wherefore, if I come, John says, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. This particular individual, Diotrephes, did not receive the letter that John wrote. This particular individual, Diotrephes, did not receive the brethren that wanted to be a partaker of the local church in Christ. He began to excommunicate them. He began to have a takeover spirit. And as a result of being in charge and desiring to be in charge, he began to do things that God specifically hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19 speaks of things that God hates. Specifically when it comes to Diotrephes, verse 19, he that soweth discord among brethren. Diotrephes was prating against John and others. He was excommunicating the brethren from the church. He had a takeover spirit. He was speaking ill of John and others, sowing discord. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 16, a whisper separateth chief friends. Those that don't get their way in the local church or on their job, as a result, will begin to backbite and backstab. They will begin to separate marriages with their tongue, friendships with their tongue. The Bible speaks of a remedy with this. The Bible speaks of the church discipline. Confront the individual in love and try to restore them, the Bible says, with a spirit of meekness. We are to have compassion on these individuals and speak the truth into their life and let them know the consequences of what they're doing and how they're hurting themselves and the work of the Lord. Matthew 18:15 says, "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, the government of the church leaders, the decision makers of the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican." In other words, cast him out and banish him for a season and break fellowship so that individual can begin to be convicted in their heart of their wrongdoing and then come back sorrowful and repented. That way it shows we do not condone their works. The Old Testament has the same remedy. Deuteronomy chapter 19 speaks of in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and Proverbs chapter 22 speaks of a remedy if that does not work. Proverbs 22 and verse 10, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease." So Diotrephes should be confronted in love. If he does not repent or relent, take with you two or three witnesses. If not, go before the government of the church. And then, if not, break fellowship with that individual that they may be convicted in their heart to see the error of their ways. And that way we do not condone their activities by allowing them to stay in charge and be a part of the fellowship. Verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." And here John is laying a warning that do not follow this individual as Diotrephes, for his actions are speaking of that which is in his heart. Follow them that are good in Christ, good in God, but not those that are evil in God. Those that are practicing good know God. Those that are practicing evil do not know God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whoso sinneth not hath not seen him, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin or practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." There are individuals who say they know God and do not. All individuals are not children of God. Contrary to popular belief, all individuals are not children of God. Ye must be born again to be adopted into the family of God. Not all individuals have a relationship and are born into the family of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20 gives a good illustration of this point, that not all individuals are children of God. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus Christ goes on to say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done many wonderful works, and in thy name have cast out devils. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We can see here that just as Diotrephes, being in the church and being first or being in charge of the church, the local church, was still a false pastor, a false prophet, and did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of his life and the lack of love in his heart that caused individuals to be cast out and banished from the church, gave evidence that he was not a child of God. Verse number 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. This is an individual that John brings up as having a good report. In contrast to Diotrephes, who had an evil report, this individual, Demetrius, has a good report, speaking of his character, speaking of his reputation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14, gives a good example of character and reputation. Verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 3, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot speaks of the inward character in Christ, and blameless speaks of the outward reputation that individuals know of us. Here, Demetrius has both character and reputation. He is known of being a good follower of Christ. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. It's good to have a good reputation, and it's good to have character on the inside. Both are a good package to show that we love the Lord. We ought to be known not just for outward reputation, but also for inward character. Verse 13, 3 John, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. This is speaking of John having some things to say that are face to face, and not issues that can be written on paper. It requires dialogue. It requires communication that are face to face. Verse 14, last verse, 3 John. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. This particular scripture speaks of John's assurance and John's hope and faith, knowing that he will shortly see them face to face. No need to write a letter, because there are going to be some things we're going to dialogue on face to face in sweet fellowship. It says here, our friends salute thee, greet thy friends by name. This speaks to how personal Christian fellowship should be. This speaks to how personal the local church shall be. In the book of Romans chapter 16, the entire chapter is dedicated by name to greeting the brethren and the sisters in Christ. No matter how huge the numbers may be in your local church, it should be personal. There should be a sense of family. There should be a sense of greeting each other by name, where we know individuals close enough to greet them by name and pray for them by name. This particular scripture is speaking to how personal sweet fellowship and the local assembly, the local church, should be. And Paul gives example in Romans 16 on how he greets every brethren and every sisterin by name. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.